You are listening to WMWM Salem 91.7 FM, WMWMonline.com, or you can go to WMWMblues.com if you'd like to see the wonderful website that the DJ of the year, Bob Nelson, has put together for us. He did win Friday night. I would like to send a little thank you out to the e-board. They had elections, and we got to meet the new e-board, which is the Board of Students, which runs the radio station. And they had a banquet, the first annual WMWM banquet on Friday night, which was a very good time. And I want to thank them for that. It was great to get together and relax and get to talk to people and meet other people and meet the students. On the weekends, it's mostly a lot of us old folk that come in and are allowed, given the opportunity to come into Salem State College and do a radio show. But during the week, the students, and it's fun to sometimes meet the people that make this station go 7 days a week, not just on the weekends. So we have a new e-board, and we there's Eric and Dan, and I can't remember the other names. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude or anything, but the whole e-board is great. They have a lot of energy. There's a lot of new things coming up, and I'd just like to thank them for that. And they gave Bob Nelson the DJ of the award of the year of the award, the DJ of the year award, which I noticed Bob has my picture for his avatar on Facebook. So that's good. I took a couple of pictures anyway. And Brian Vita also got an award for being our techie person. He's the person who also does Sunday Night Chill. And he's the reason why you hear us a lot of the times. And if there are problems, he comes in and irons them out. And he's done nothing but positive things. So hopefully he's looking up for WMWM. Things are looking up. And the next year will be an exciting one. So back to Peter Ward. I'm sorry. It's like just trying to take care of business and get everything going. We just heard Duke Robillard from his new CD, Passport to the Blues. That was Blues Train, and we will listen to Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones coming up in a few minutes. But
you know, Duke is one of the greats. He's headlining the show on May 14th at the Regent from our fundraiser, and we're so lucky that Duke's around. We get a chance to see him. He's one of the greats in the whole country, and you could travel to other parts of the country and really never come across a great blues guitar player. And when I was in high school, I went to a dance in New Hampshire. And there was this band with horns got up there, Room Full of Blues. And I thought, wow. Gee, I hope it's blues, even though it's in their name, you know. And they started playing when there was no guitar player on stage. They just started playing a real great blues. I thought, these guys are pretty good. Then I saw this sort of, this kind of little guy with a mustache and a straw hat get on stage. And I said, I wonder who that is. Is that the janitor? Or
yeah.
But he was like a 20-year-old kid. Basically,
did he have his overalls on?
No overalls.
No.
I know. I heard that he used to do that. But he had a little straw hat though, and they picked up that big box guitar, and he started playing like T-Bone Walker. And I thought, oh my God! And I still remember very much. I played guitar, but I didn't know that much about guitar then. But I knew enough to know that what he was playing then was really sophisticated, great playing. Even then, he knew so much. His vocabulary on guitar was just as big then as it is now, I think. And somebody once said, you know, he's forgotten more than a lot of people will ever know.
Yeah.
It really is true. And I remember sometimes he'd stop in the middle between songs and adjust the strings on his guitar, and I thought, wow, that's really eccentric.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything wrong. Like, what does he hear, you know? He has a great ear, and he's a really nice guy, very humble. I mean, he's as modest as can be, and he doesn't have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's so great. And
he
was
a
Room Full for so long. Yeah, he is a perfectionist.
And I think that comes from his producing side of it, too.
Yeah, he's always working on stuff. I'd love to know what... I think every day he's working on something. And he spends a lot of time at the studio down there in Greenwich with his friend John Paul Gauthier, his manager.
Yeah.
Who's also an engineer and stuff. They're always working on stuff. And he's... one of his side projects was to do a CD of Les Paul songs with a woman I used to work with, Sunny Crownover.
Yes.
And I worked with her for a long time. She's a wonderful singer, a good blues singer. And she was with a band that I was with. And then Duke, brought her along to his projects because he recognized what a great singer she was. And they did this Les Paul, Mary Ford collaboration.
Yeah.
And it sounds very, it's a real tribute to that, as well as another album of the Tiki Hut, I think. It's on Duke's website.
Yeah, Tiki Hut is something another like one that. Of his CDs. Yeah.
Torch songs and things. And he did a video with Sunny singing, and she's terrific. And she's going to be on the show, too, along with Tony Lynn Washington. My friend Mary Waters, who sort of co-produces the show, she goes, make sure you have women on there. I said, yes.
Where's the women?
I got women on there. Tony Lynn Washington, Shirley Lewis, Sonny Crownover. That's three great singers right there.
That's what happens with me on my show. Not that I have anything against women in the blues, but I have so many blues people that I get on these jags and I'll just go on and then I'll get an idea for a new song or whatever. And then all of a sudden I'll realize I've played no blues women. So right. I'll do like a set of blues women. And then a couple of weeks ago, I ended up doing like an hour's worth of women songs. So I said, oh, that was great because I got it all out.
Evens it out a little.
Yeah.
I mean, the women are, you have to remember that. Maybe men have a tendency to overlook.
So Duke Robillard stole Sonny Crownover from a project that
stole?
You were
in? Stole? No. But no, we did a show at Harvard University with Charlie Sawyer and that blues band 2120, which I worked for several years. And Duke was our guest, along with some other people. I think Monster Mike was on this show, too. And also Bruce Bears, who's with Duke.
Yeah.
He'll be there with his big B3 organ, which is always kind of fun.
He's with Duke, too, because he's also with Tony Lynn.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Right. So they'll be working together like that. And So when Duke was a guest sitting in, well, he got to see us with Sonny. And I think it was soon thereafter. It's great. It was a good move for everybody involved.
But that's good, though, because he's always thinking. It's amazing that he could be playing and be a guest somewhere and then be thinking, wow, what a beautiful voice here. And how can I possibly take this and get a collaboration going?
Yeah. And he, it's hard to get a project started, harder to finish one. And he seems to know how to get things done.
Wow.
And when you hear it, you know, you think, wow, that is good.
Your name's Duke Robillard, I don't think it would be too hard. Because it's amazing. I look at the credits. I always like to look into CDs, where I'm putting them on the air and playing them on the air. I'm always looking at who produced it, who's in the band, who the special guests are.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's amazing to see Duke Robillard. And we wouldn't even expect him to be producing.
Yeah, he's produces some other people, I've noticed, too, a lot of stuff. And it's worth
jazz
checking out.
Other genres of music.
Oh, yeah, his swing. Not even mentioning his swing style. I mean, he played with Herb Ellis, which is...
Yeah.
To do that, just to be able to play with Herb Ellis is just fantastic. And Herb Ellis won't play with just anybody who says, I'd like to recruit... Even if you're willing to pay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Herb Ellis wasn't... who passed away since then. But he was challenged on there. But he's a monster himself, Herb Ellis.
Yeah.
But those two records that Duke did with him, I think are fantastic. I listen to them all the time. The real free swing. It's just great swing. I think it was Duke's band, but with Herb Ellis as a guest. And I forget the names of those CDs, but those are good. So
one of them is Duke Robillard and Herb Ellis, I think.
That's a good name.
It is with a slash because I just saw it in the library. I was out there going through.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what the other one was.
It was something like, it was from the same session, but some of the ones that couldn't be included on the first CD. So that's kind of nice.
Great.
And one other thing about my show, too, is that my show, but there'll be a comic on there, by the way. Jimmy Smith, his name is. He was on, if anybody came to the show 2 years ago, he had a broken leg and he came up and he's a great comic, and he was talking about how he had a skiing accident, which got a lot of laughs as soon as he said that. This guy Jimmy Smith was saying, like, I just came off the slopes. I had a broken leg. People were laughing at that. He hadn't even gotten to his first joke yet. You guys getting a good response. So we keep the show fast moving because, I was thinking, when I go to a concert, and this is my own personal feeling, but I don't want to see any band for 90 minutes. I really don't anymore. I'm too, my extension span. I know it's nice for a band to be able to have to get into the groove and have a beginning and a middle and then finish up. Okay, fine. But you know what? Can you do it in 30 minutes? So I have basically 30-minute sets for these, and not everybody gets 30, but if that's fast. I like to keep it fast moving and so people can... enjoy it. And if there's something they don't like, they don't have to sit through it as long. If they do like it, they got 30 to 40 minutes of
a
good set.
They know they have a half hour. No.
Yeah.
But so are you going to have a backline set up?
Yes.
So that way there's no set change.
Very few, yeah, hardly any set change. And that's very important, too, because nobody wants to sit through and watch the technicians get up there and move amps. No, and I've never had to do that. Just have one line of amps.
It gives you time to mingle, though, and to look at the silent auction
stuff. Which is very important. The silent auction's going to be good, and that's at the Regent Theater. Saturday, May 14th.
Did we mention Saturday,
May 14th? I hope I get the right date. That'd be bad not to.
So you've got the Duke Rogelad Band. You've got Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones featuring Monster Mike Welch.
Right.
Which will have your brother, Mudcat, on bass.
Yes, Neil Gouven on drums.
Neil Gouven on drums.
And Anthony Girasi possibly on piano.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's, this is an old time.
He was with the original Blue Tones.
Player,
And he went to, I think he's about to move back to Massachusetts from Vermont.
Oh, really?
He moved way up there, Anthony Girasi. And he's always fun.
He misses the...
He used to take lighter fluid and...
Yeah.
He'd light his organ or his farfisa.
Little Anthony and the Locomotives, wasn't
right.
it?
Right.
That was his band. Yeah. I have a couple
of CDs. I think he put out a CD.
I have a CD by him,
And then Duke's got a four-piece band, I believe. Mark Texera.
Texera on drums.
On drums. And, I can't remember. Marty...
Baloo, is he still on bass?
Not
I don't
sure
know.
About that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And then Bruce Baer is on,
keyboard
on the B3. And then Tony Lynn Washington, who I'm not sure, she'll probably sing with Duke or Duke's band, but it hasn't all been worked out yet. It will be by the time we
I haven't
get there.
Seen Tony Lynn in a while. I'm sorry to say that. I've turned, as the older I get, I turn into a bear. And then it's so tough to go to Boston nowadays and see these people.
Well, if your parents are only 14 years older than you.
No,
you
16, 17.
16, excuse me. You can go with them.
No. They're in New Hampshire all
you
the time.
You haven't surpassed them in
on
age
the weekends.
Yet?
No. But you know, because Boston, it used to be so thriving, and I used to love going in there, but now there's no parking. There's nowhere to go.
Very hard to park today compared to what way it used to be.
It's all permit parking, and I've found that a lot of these people, what they do is they police their neighborhoods.
Oh, they don't want anybody parking there.
No, you get a ticket for being in a permit parking only.
Right.
And they'll take the ticket off your car.
Oh, that's
because now, and it's happened to me twice with my personal vehicle. And now what happens is it shows up months later, but now it's not a $15 ticket
anymore. No, it's got a penalty on top of it, and you never even saw the ticket to begin with.
So it's got so crazy. So I try to do the early shows for 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Those are great. That's
and
good
take
for
the blue
mind.
Line.
Uh-huh.
Right, pay your $5, take the blue line and let the T do the driving and then walk. Most things are walking distance.
I think that's smart. And you know, it's there is parking at the across from the Regent Theater, so that makes it
there
nice and easy.
Big
it's one of the few places where you can still park. But you know, I run a farmer's market in for my regular job. It starts in May in Davis Square, Somerville, and then in Central Square. And in Central Square, I know it makes me sound like an old, what's the word? Well, an old man.
Yeah.
But sometimes I tell the younger kids, I say, you wouldn't believe it, but there was a great blues club right across the street, right where that parking lot is, the old speakeasy.
Speakeasy, yeah.
And they say, so what? You know, they don't care.
Yeah.
But and you could park across the street back then,
too. And we're talking blues club.
Yeah, that was all blues.
You went in there, and it was dark, dingy.
It was all wood.
And I went in there one time, and I was the only Caucasian person in the place. And the smoke was so thick you could cut it with a knife.
The days when you could smoke.
They were all dressed up with the way you'd see in the movies, the way the blues and the jazz people are portrayed. The top hats and these are patrons. Not just the musicians, everybody else was dressed up. I felt so out of place. But the music was the best.
Great music, yeah. John Nicholas used to play there on a regular basis. And all the great blues guys would come in. Jimmy Rogers I used to see there. And Robert Union Lockwood.
Lockwood, yeah.
And Hubcap Robinson would be a drummer who'd come in there too. And Johnny Shines played there.
Unbelievable.
I did a little story once for the... about speakeasy, but it's just funny that I'm working now right across the street.
That's great.
From where that used to be.
That's great.
Well, a lot of young blues bands got their start. James Montgomery played there, and a lot of the younger guys who are now becoming, not quite there, but the elder statesmen of blues, Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones. I mean, those guys, that's my generation. Those guys are starting to get up there. We're not old yet, but...
Exactly.
I mean, there's always another generation coming up, but these are the sort of the last generation of guys who did play with big Walter Horton and Robert Jr. and lucky enough to play with that other, that last of those, and those guys were considered young at one time. I remember, so when I saw Jimmy Rogers, he was probably the age I am now. I remember stammering and stuttering, saying, I bought all your records, you know. Didn't realize that these blues guys were so approachable, and not, most of them, not all of them were nice.
No.
Louis Myers was a little prickly, you know. But I also liked him quite a bit. So anyway, to all you blues fans, I hope you can see blues. I'm not saying that the show is the only place where you can see blues, but it is several great blues artists all in one place. And Guy Davis is on the show.
The way it used to be,
he's our special guest. And Guy Davis is really a terrific artist. I believe he lives in New York. And if people aren't familiar with him, he's quite a long history of recorded stuff, a lot of CDs to his credit.
And his parents were Ozzie and Harriet, correct?
Ossie Davis,
yeah.
Yeah, the late actor, yeah. and Ruby Dee.
And Ruby Dee.
Who's still around, I believe. But Ossie Davis, I know, has passed away. And Guy was on the show 2 years ago, and people loved him.
Yeah, he hasn't been around lately. Uh-huh. He used to come around often. He used to play a funky little church in Copley Square.
Oh, really?
They used to have funky little acoustic people in there. I saw Guy Davis there and Alvin Youngblood Hart. Beautiful old Boston church, and it was really beautiful.
I think I know which one you mean. Just sort of on the other side of the library. Not the Trinity Church, but the... That other one.
They used to have shows in there.
Yeah, and he's always lets people sit in, and he can play harmonica. He's very talented. He plays 12-string guitar sometimes. And so Guy Davis, he was people loved him last time, and I think so. I was happy to get him to come back. He wanted to come back, which is kind of nice.
That's great.
Even though his managers were saying, weren't sure if he could fit it in, and there were budgetary considerations.
Yeah.
So these guys, I should say, too, these bands, we're paying their expenses, but they're basically donating a lot of their, the fees that they normally, their market rate or whatever, so that they can pay tribute to May, which is part of it. That's the other thing I try to get musicians who knew May or, had some interaction with her. And Duke and May were friends. Sugar Ray goes, and May went way back. May Kramer, I'm talking about. And even Guy Davis remembered her when, I think right before May passed away, she promoted a show of his. And I think he may have come into the studio. I think he did. I think he told me he did. And so he remembered this redheaded, DJ. And so it's not a requirement that they had to have known May. Not everybody did, but yeah. I like that connection. I think it's kind of fun.
The little redhead, it's funny you say that. When Dick and myself first went in there to volunteer, I probably told the story before, so I know it's boring, but we went in on Dick's birthday. We were going to a show at the Rat. We were going to see the Neighborhoods do their last gig, and the people from Aerosmith were playing and everything. So Dick said, we're going to go in early because we want to volunteer for May's show. So we went in and went up to the security guard at the front desk, which GBH had, and said, well, we're here to see May Kramer. And he said, well, who are you? And we said, well, we're here to volunteer for her program. He goes, all right, well, wait a minute. He calls back, and all of a sudden, this redhead comes bombing down the hall, whips the door open, and goes, follow me, and runs down the hall. And I'm looking at Dick, and I go, what did you get us into? So we go down there, and there were two studios, and of course, May was in the one studio, and she's pointing to the studio next door, and she's going... So I'm like, this is so bizarre. So we sat there for, it seemed like the longest time. It was probably only 15 to 20 minutes. But we sat there, and what do? Well, I guess that the phone rings, and we answer it. I don't know. And we're looking at each other, and she came over, and she goes, so you want to volunteer, huh? Well, who are you guys? And then, boom, we end up in there. But it was just so funny because we went by, we figured we'd just talk to her. And it was like hands-on training. It was like, okay,
you on the phones right away.
You want to be a volunteer? There you go. I don't have anybody. And we missed the show that we went in to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we stayed, and that was our first thing with May.
She didn't just hire anybody either.
No, and it wasn't, she didn't.
She you had to have a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
It was also important that you were nice to the people on the phone, people calling in.
Oh, exactly.
She enjoyed talking to the people in the earlier days.
Yes.
I think after a while she felt she was a little busy with lining up those segues between to talk. I don't know maybe she talked to one or two, but not too many towards...
Well, we had to filter them because everybody wanted May.
Right.
Everybody called up and said, yeah, May Kramer, please. And I'm like... Oh, yeah, sure. You know, it's like calling up and saying, I want to speak with Barack Obama. You know what I mean? It's like...
Not everybody
can. Not that she's the president of the United States, but she was on the air, and doing her thing, and she was very focused.
She's very focused. She was, I remember that too. Yeah,
and
she
didn't.
Yeah. Very, I kid. Very sometimes focused. I kid around with her. I say, you know, it's just spinning records. And she goes, what? Yeah. Oh. What do you mean, just spinning records? And I knew I was just kidding.
Yeah.
She goes, there's a lot more to it. And she really, you know, in those days of vinyl, she really did try to say, what sounds good next, what beginning of a song sounds good after the ending of this last song? She'd pay a lot of attention to that. And I was always amazed, really impressed by that. I don't know if I was just asking you a little while ago if that's still doable, you know, with the CDs that we have today. And to an extent it is, because you're saying, I'd like to play something upbeat compared to the last song, or maybe with a piano ending, you know, start a new, the next song could have guitar intro or whatever. So yes, that kind of thinking, I know you do that.
Yeah, I don't pay so much attention to it. I don't know if it's affected. I did listen to a lot of my shows back in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And before I had headphones and everything, and I was very conscious about how you sound. And with headphones, it's like so different because I can actually hear my voice while I'm speaking. So I can make any adjustments if I have to. And for years, I didn't have one. And I was like, oh, boy, because I really don't like my voice. But also, other DJs here segue with their voice. And they also, on the board, they'll mix one thing down and mix another thing up.
Yeah,
and I never really...
That's a style.
They call me the choppy DJ. I'm usually... By the time you type something in, write it down, the phone rings or something's going... Luckily, the phone does ring sometimes.
Yes, and, ring a little while ago while we were talking.
It did ring a little while ago, but nobody was there. But I'm trying to line up the CDs and everything. It's just crazy.
It's a lot to... I don't know if people realize that it's a lot to keep...
There's a lot going on.
To keep together, yeah.
And then it all depends on what's going on. Usually when I come... Well, it depends. I usually try to come in with very focused as to what I'm going to do. And that's why I slept my own CDs in and out.
Right. May used to do that, too. You know, years ago, she had the blues crawl. I think you were around during that. She organized the whole thing, not just in the studio. I think she had,
Philip Walker.
Well, Philip Walker, that's right.
Played.
Yeah, played
and Charlie
in the TV.
And Charlie Musselwhite was on in the crowd.
And May also organized the thing where you could go out for one ticket, you go out to the pub crawl. And I remember I was at the GBH studio, and there were lots of people all over the place that night.
Yeah.
Usually it was quiet in the just the guards and the couple volunteers, or one volunteer like you, would be there. But my father, when he was alive, went down to see that show at Philip Walker. And we went into that little bathroom that was near the studio.
Yeah.
There was one under the stairwell.
Yeah.
It was packed with people. You had to wait to get in the men's room. We had to wait.
Yeah.
And I remember I was finally got a chance to go. And Eric Jackson, who still is a jazz host for GBH, stuck his head and he goes, oh, my gosh, a full house. And I said, beats a flush. And I flushed the urinal. And I thought, I'll never get that chance again.
Exactly.
But,
exactly. That show was phenomenal. Then she had George Hunt was an artist that did a lot of the old blues posters. She had him, too. I still have my big button, the GBH
pub crawl. Right. The
big
pub crawl.
Blue button.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I have all the... I'm a stickler like that. I have boxes. There's probably so much crap, but I have boxes
We have a few items to give away that are May-related, too. So if they come to the show on May 14th.
May related. I love the picture.
Now, Alan Dines, who you may remember, he's a photographer.
He's the one that did the famous picture of May Kramer. Isn't it?
He did one of them.
Oh.
And I was surprised because he told me. I think he did not do that one. Someone named West did that.
Oh, okay.
Other one where May's in front of the telephones taking the. It looks like a sort of a Chinese type jacket.
A kimono,
kimono type
it's
thing.
Beautiful.
And but Alan Dines said, you know, I have an idea. He's actually the one who had the idea for this show. He goes, why don't you do a show to remember May? I thought, why didn't I think of that? You
know?
And it was his idea, Alan Dines of North Star Photography, I think, is his thing. But he said, may the blues be with you. And he spelled May, M-A-I. I said, that's great. I wish I thought of that, too.
Well, that's good, though.
So we had a hat made up saying, may the blues be with you. So we have a few left over from a couple of shows ago.
I have that one.
Turns out to be a little bit of a... Might have one. It might be plastic in the back.
Then I have the CDs. No, I mean the T-shirts.
We had some
T-shirts.
And she had T-shirts made in the old days.
I still have my old Blues After Hours one. In fact, I was talking Friday night with Bob Nelson about the Blues Gals.
Oh,
she did a pink shirt. I never really wore it because pink wasn't my color.
Yeah, they were pink and they were two chicks.
Yeah, the two chicks on them.
You know, I think I gave some of those to Goodwill by accident.
Oh, really?
Some of the shirts. But you know what? They weren't, I mean, not all the ideas turned out to be great. That was based on Holly Harris, I think.
Holly Harris.
Who lives right here in Salem. Yeah. No, does she live in
Salem? She lives in Salem.
Salem, yes.
Yes, she does. She lives at, no. Actually, she's...
Isn't her phone number? Yeah. Blah, blah, 555. Call her after 2 a.m.
Oh, man.
It's nice talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Last show ever,
No. No. Hopefully Holly's eating Easter dinner or whatever, and she's not... Well, she listens to the program, though. Good. I call her. I got to get together with
her. She'll be at this show, and as will Diana Schunk.
Wow.
Who,
from the Blues Audience.
Blues Audience. And Tom Hazeltine, who you know well.
Yes.
He was another volunteer, and he works with Ronnie Earle as his road manager or something, I think.
Yep.
And he's got a gig the night before with Ronnie. But so it's a question, but I think he's going to try to make the show. And he's helped out in the past, either in the green, so-called green room.
Yeah.
Hard, because it's hard. It's crowded in there, and it's hard to get people to know who's coming next. Like I said, I try to keep the show moving.
Yeah.
Well, you got to tell people to get ready. It's hard to do it all together, but so I've had Tom do that in the past, and there will be beer and wine there if that makes that just to make it nice for people. In the past, the theater now has its own way of providing beer and wine.
Wow!
In the old days, I had to find a bartender and try to get I had to buy insurance for it, and
It
was a huge chunk of money. So now the theater provides that, which is really great of the Regent Theater. And it's like you were saying, how nice a theater it is.
It is.
It's a really nice place to. Every seat's a good seat.
Yes.
There's no bad seat. The balcony is kind of fun to be in.
It holds what? I think it holds 600 or 700?
I think it's 500.
500, yeah.
And you lose a few if you have bartending like on those platforms. So we sold out twice. We've had four shows in the past, sold out twice, and two other times sort of came close, but we didn't sell out. But those the economy was really bad. Not that it's great now, but we were worried about it 2 years ago because things are really tanking everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's...
And we got a pretty good crowd. And, you know, you mentioned Teo.
Lismaya,
Yeah. There's talk about doing another kind of concert in his memory, but that's going to be, I think, in July over at Scullers, I believe.
Oh, excellent.
It's not set yet. It's going to be a Tuesday night. But Fred Taylor, who worked with Teo and also works at
Scullers.
Runs Scullers, books Scullers, and he's a legend in his
Huge.
Own. Yeah, he was talking about maybe doing something for Teo and for Teo's family. Like we had done something like that back in 07 at the Regent Theater. And so he thought it's time to do another thing maybe at Scullers on a weeknight. So we have to keep you apprised on that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and, Teo, he was, it's so sad. He was the keyboard player with Johnny Clyde Copeland for years, wasn't he? Who did he play with? He played with,
last time I saw him, he played with Jeff Pitchell.
Yeah.
But, he played, I did some gigs with him, just guitar and piano. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And he was great. At the old precinct something, right on, is that on Tremont? Or sort of right near, around the corner from the music school, Berkeley.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I remember the ice machine broke down near his piano, and he was looking down. He was standing in water. Yeah. We were both standing in water. But Teo was a terrific musician, and of course he booked House of Blues later on.
Which was huge when the House of Blues was in Cambridge.
Yes, it was.
The House of Blues actually had blues.
Yeah, he insisted, and he had, you know, sometimes he was at loggerheads with the higher-ups who wanted it to be more commercial and maybe more lucrative or whatever by having more rock acts.
It only held 200 people, though.
Yeah, and I think he had Jimmy Sproul or something. Is that his name there? From New York. Some obscure, not Jimmy Sproul. Yeah, I think so.
remember he had Junior Wells in there.
Right.
Buddy Guy, Luther Allison, Dr. John, James Cotton. I mean, the list just goes on. Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah, all the Muddy Waters tribute
Pine
band.
Pine Top, yeah.
And you get to see him real close.
It was
always easy just to stay. You had to stand. That was the only problem.
Yes, yes. But
Teo was always great. You know, and always he was always in a good mood when you saw Teo.
He was.
He seemed to be.
Yeah.
And he was always happy to see you, whoever, you know, I saw that was not just whoever it was.
Yeah.
That was a sad loss, obviously.
It was.
Yeah.
And talk about a busy guy. He was right out straight.
Yeah.
He was. And I miss him, and I miss the old House of Blues. The new House of Blues is great, but it's a concert venue hall.
No, yes, it's not, quite different. It'll never be like that was. That was a nice, small, intimate. If anybody remembers, I forget what street that was on, but
Winthrop?
Is it Winthrop Street or Elliott? It's one of those small streets in Harvard Square.
Right in the middle of Harvard Square, right across from Grendel's.
Right, right.
And that,
just a house, really. Yeah, it's bigger inside than it always.
It was the House of Blues. What is it? It's an Irish pub now.
Oh, Tommy something. It's like an Irish. It's got an Irish. Tommy. Oh. Call in if you happen to know. It's a chain, though, of Irish places. They still have some blues there, I believe.
They do. All right. Well, let's play a little more music.
Great.
Why don't we? We're going to listen to...